This is Christmas week, the week that we set aside and remember the birth of Jesus. How do you feel thus far as you approach Christmas? You relaxed, non-hectic, at peace, able to be contemplative. Is that how it often happens? Ran into somebody in town a short time ago, and he said to me, he said, well, he said, are you ready for this? You ready for this week to be past? And you could tell that what he was telling me was he was ready for this week to be past. And I didn't quite get what he said because there was some noise going on. And I asked him, I said, what? I said, I'm sorry, I'm not able to hear real well back here. I said, what was it you said? He says, well, it can be awful hectic. And I just, you know, wonder if you're ready for this week to be past. Do you know that we can be drawn into that? It can seem like that this time of the year, that the essence of what it is that we're endeavoring to remember and celebrate can get lost in trying to satisfy and meet the needs of and fulfill the expectations of others. and end up missing being able to truly lift up our eyes and our hearts and worship the one that gave all that we might live. And if we're not careful, we can completely miss what the Lord would have us to focus on in this season and miss a blessing, a special blessing that He would like to give to us. And so maybe this morning, if it's possible, the Lord can help us. Maybe we can draw our minds in this morning and don't know how else to say it, but kind of take a collective breath. And can we set aside the next few minutes to not think so much about the things that make us feel frantic and hectic and not at peace and rest, and open up our hearts a little bit to what the Lord would like us to remember? I'm not saying that we don't and that you aren't, but I know what real life is. I'm inspired this morning as we approach Christmas to reflect on both the gift that has been given to us and a corresponding responsibility that I believe the Lord would be happy for us to embrace. And really, it's a continuation of last Sunday's message as part of how we choose to order our lives and our homes. Not just once a year, or not just here and there, but choices that we make that bring ongoing order and purpose to our lives and to the homes that we are in. And my inspiration this morning for myself and for the congregation is on the subject still of giving. giving some of what we have been given. And so I've written on the board, the little title this morning is Pass It On. And I'd like to start by reading some short and maybe quoting some short but consequential verses of what we've been given. I'm going to go through them really fast, so you're probably not going to have time to turn to them, but I'd like to remind us this morning of some of these things. And I'd like to start, feel like there's no better way to start than remembering the announcement, the good news, the proclamation that the angels gave to the shepherds on that glorious night, and by extension, not just to the shepherds, but to you and to me. And so, two verses in Luke, the second chapter, starting at the 10th verse, it said, "And the angel said unto them," and he says to you too this morning, the angels are saying unto you this morning, "Fear not, be at peace. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be not to a select group of people, not to a people that are deemed worthy, but I bring you good tidings which shall be to all people." That is, all of us here this morning. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I'm struck that the angels started off by saying something that the Lord Himself repeated multiple times in the Scriptures. And that is an assurance, a reassurance. And I believe this morning he would like you. He would like me, in a very personal way, to be able to get a hold, and he wants to say to us, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of what I'm bringing. I'm bringing to you peace. I didn't come to the world to set in motion something that is intended to put everybody on the edge of their chairs, figuratively speaking, as they go through life, fearful that any moment you're going to be cut off and separated and dealt the punishment that you're due. But I am come to bring to you life and peace. I've come to be your Savior. I've come to be your King. I've come to bring you good gifts." And so the angels started off by telling the shepherds, knowing that perhaps they would be fearful as they came into the presence of something that was divine, they said, "Fear not." And I believe the Lord this morning wants to say to you, "Fear not. Be at peace. I'm come to bring you deliverance from that which you are unable to deliver yourselves from." No one's left out. "I'm come to give you a gift. I am a gift giver to the right unrighteous and to the undeserving. For unto you." And so this morning I would like to think about, to start with, gifts that the Lord has given to us. As a father, a good father in heaven, those of you that have experienced this, there's nothing quite like being a father, being a mother, and you have little children that are excited about Christmas, and there's much anticipation, and the morning comes, Christmas morning comes, and I don't know what it's like in your homes, but our homes, it seemed like that Julie, me and Michael, we were up before Mom and Dad, and we were ready to get after it before they were ready to get after it, it seemed. We were excited, we were ready to open up those gifts that we had been wondering about leading up until that day. And I'm thinking this morning of the wonderful, beautiful gifts that God has prepared for us that we didn't pay for. I didn't pay for the gifts that were given to me as a child at home. I didn't wrap the presents. I didn't know how to make them beautiful as a child. I didn't have the wherewithal to earn them. But I had somebody that loved me. I had somebody that it didn't matter that I was not able to pay for them. I had somebody that was going to have joy in watching me open and enjoy that which I didn't earn. And then as you become parents and mothers and fathers, and you get to experience that for yourself, what you're able to do for those that are very dependent on you, you take a lot of joy and satisfaction, don't we, when we can do that. And the Lord did that for us, and He wrapped up, figuratively speaking, this beautiful array of gifts that go exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think. The first of which is salvation from sin. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. In fact, very much the opposite. And yet, the Father in heaven has come to me, and He's come to you, and He's called you by name, and He's offered you this wonderful gift. And He has told us that He came to save His people, Matthew 1 and 21, from their sins. John 1 and 29 said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But that's not all. We open that up and we're so grateful for it, and yet there's another gift that the Lord wants to give to us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. In the second chapter of Acts, the verse tells us, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In the 14th chapter of John, He begins to describe that gift, and He didn't say that it was a gift of a condemner, but He called the gift of the Holy Spirit a comforter. I want to send you a comforter. I want to send you a helper. I want to send you power. He has a gift of power and something to help us when we are unable to help ourselves. In the first chapter of Acts, it says, "You will receive power, not because you've earned it, but because it is a gift of the Holy Spirit." 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, "And He said unto me, My grace," the unmerited favor of God, "is going to be sufficient. My strength and my power is made perfect in your weakness." He came to bring us peace. So He saves us from our sins. He gives us a gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives us a gift of power. And He gives us a gift of the Comforter. And then He says, "And I want you to have peace in all of it." And so in the 14th chapter of John, He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. John 16 and 33, in me you might have peace. And he came to bring us rest. Rest that we can't manufacture on our own. And Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And David said in the 23rd Psalm that he would lead us beside the still waters, and that he would restore our souls and lead us in paths of righteousness. And he sent to us a gift of love from the Father. John 15 and 9 said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. We say, but I'm not worthy. Perhaps it's for other people. Surely I can't be included in that number. I know my past. I know my failings. I know my unrighteousness in some respects. And perhaps it's not for me. And yet the scripture says in Romans 5 and 8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, I call you no longer servants, but I call you friends. Incredible, undeserved friendship offered to me and to you by the Creator. A complete package. Does it sound like somebody to be afraid of? You ever afraid of Jesus? Do you ever look at God as a God that is just after discipline and correction and cut you off if you don't meet grade? When he does correct, he does it because he loves us. He is a God of love, and he wants us to understand that he is a God of love. And he gives us gifts, folks, that cannot be earned and they cannot be measured by the temporal things of this life. And yet often we try to do just that. We try to earn these gifts. Sometimes we're guilty of trying to measure the goodness of God by the temporal places that we find ourselves in life, and yet they're not worthy to be compared to the temporal things of this life or the situations and the environments that we find ourselves in that may be unpleasant to the flesh. The gifts that he gives to us are not worthy to be compared to that. You follow me? They go way beyond that. He gives us gifts that are eternal. That when these temporal things and unpleasant things of life pass away, he's come to give us life in the soul, that we might have eternal life, and that we might have his friendship. Have you ever had somebody do something for you? Maybe unexpectedly you got yourself in a bind, and somebody came along and they pulled you out of the bind, and you were looking for your wallet and you wanted to try to pay them, but they wouldn't take it. Have you ever been there? And they said, no, just pass it on. When you see somebody else in need, when you see somebody else that's in trouble, be willing to stop. Be willing to pause. Be willing to put your foot on the brake. Be willing to set the hectic, fast-paced duties of life to the side, the things that sometimes we can place so much importance on, and pass it on. Well, that's scriptural in a lot of ways, and it's my message this morning. So I'd like to again consider the fact that Jesus gives us the greatest of gifts possible when we're in the most impossible binds and are unable to repay Him. He said in the fourth chapter of Luke, in the very beginning of His ministry, in the 18th verse, that He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to help heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus condescended to give what He didn't have to give to us, to pay a price that He didn't have to pay. But He did it anyway. And it changed our lives forever. And so when we pause and we take time to consider these things, sometimes we sing from the heart that song that says, Lord, You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised, Lord, and I praise You. Lord, You're worthy to bow down to, and I bow down to You. And Lord, You're worthy to be worshipped, and I worship You. I believe this morning is that as we bow down to the Father in praise and worship, thanksgiving, that He concurrently encourages us to rise up and pass on the love that He has shown to us. I believe that is a way to honor the Lord. I can't repay Him for these gifts that we've just spoken of. Can't earn them. I can't give Him in return what He has given to me. But I can honor the Lord by passing on some of the love that He's given to me. And I will say it this way, I believe we bring dishonor to the Lord when we fail to do that. He tells us to take the good news of the gospel to the world in word and in action. We spend so much time on getting, don't we? Don't we spend so much time of our lives on getting? It's not abnormal, and it's not an accusation, and it's not something to feel guilty about. We're put in life, and it's part of living life is to get to survive. But I feel like there's a spirit in the world that has gone beyond getting to survive. What is the little saying that says that some people eat to live and we live to eat? Can go beyond food. Some people have clothes to survive. Sometimes we live to have it just so. Some people just desire to have a roof over their heads, and we live in a time where sometimes it can go beyond that. Sometimes I feel like that we can be as the rich man that said, things have gone really good for me. I think here's what I'm going to do. I think I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater, and I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'm not outside of that influence. I suspect you're not either. We spend a lot of time on getting. But what about giving? Isn't that part of the hope of the gospel? We have been given so much, and the Lord asks us to, in return, give. You've been given much. Be willing to give. And I believe that it goes beyond one time a year. But I believe the Lord would have us to live our lives so that as we get, and as it is necessary to get, I've done a lot of getting in my life. But Lord, help me to know how to give back of those things that I've been given that really I didn't earn. And that if the Lord just said the word, I wouldn't have air to breathe. I wouldn't have strength to go. I wouldn't have a mind to think. And yet God gives me these blessings. Lord, help me in all of my getting to be willing to give. Jesus tells us that will be a defining characteristic of His disciples and those that He considers His sheep in that last great day. And He tells us that actually in pretty stark terms in the 25th chapter of Matthew. It said in the 31st verse, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And I think about Jesus sitting on the throne of His glory, and it's gonna be all about Jesus. It's gonna be in His hands in that last great day when He bursts through those clouds in a way that the angels appeared from the heavens and they had a message to give. And the Lord is going to come back, and He's going to come back with a purpose then at that time to see what we did with the great gift that was given and announced on that great day when the angels came and declared the wonder of the coming of Jesus Christ and the great gift that it was going to be, and that we didn't have to fear because it was a gift that was going to be given to all mankind. Whosoever will would come to Him. But then there's going to come a day when the Lord comes back. A day that's outside of my choosing. A day that is unexpected. A day that I can't put on the calendar and plan around it. It's going to be a time when, just like when the angels appeared, there's going to come a day when the Lord appears in all of His glory. And He's going to come, and this said that with the holy angels with Him. And He's going to sit down on His throne of glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, all people. And I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there. You think about that? All the nations and of all the people, and we will all be gathered. And the Lord in His majesty, in His Godhead, He will be sitting on His throne of majesty as He looks out over all of the people again, of whom you and I will be a part of. And it says that He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He will look out
on all people in all nations. And you, right there, could you step over to the side? You move over here. You right over here. Could you step over here? Yeah, yes, you over on that side. You over, no, you're over here. And he is going to make a division that will be two groups of people. Sheep and the goats. And you know what? At some point, he's going to come to me. And he's going to say, Rod, you're divided to this side. And he's going to come to you. And he's going to know your name. He's going to know all about you. And he's going to say, you're divided to this side. It's not a fairy tale. It's truth. It's going to happen. And it's going to be a time where he doesn't say, I have somewhat against thee. I wish that you were like this, but you're not. And so I counsel thee that ye buy some gold tried in fire, and that you repent. No, that's today. It's as the Lord gives us time and opportunity. But the day I'm talking about, when he comes back, there will be no more opportunity. That'll be past. And he'll separate them, and he separates them out. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And listen to what it says. Of all the things that it could say, of all the things that perhaps we say is so important in the division of the saved and the unsaved, of all those things, Jesus had a way of distilling down to those things that spoke of our heart. He said, for when I was hungry, you gave me meat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was a stranger, when I wasn't like you, you were willing to go outside of your exterior and boundaries, your standards, you were willing to reach out to the stranger and take them in. And when you saw somebody that was naked and exposed and alone and by themselves, you gave me something. When I was sick and I was hurting and soul and body, you took time out. You visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous answered and they said, Lord, this is me saying this, Lord, happy that you're saying this to me, but I don't ever remember seeing you. I don't ever remember seeing you in life. Surely if I would have seen you, I would have done these things, Lord, because it would have been you. And I would have stopped everything that I was doing, Lord. No matter what it was that I was doing, Lord, if I saw you on the side of the street,
Lord, if I saw you in great need, it would not have mattered what I was doing. I would have stopped and I would have done whatever you needed me to do. Lord, if I was seeing you. But I didn't see you, Lord. What do you mean?
Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink, etc.? And the king answered and said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Outlining some of the most beautiful gifts that can be given to people, and saying that inasmuch as from your heart that you lived your life seeking to serve and meet the needs of other people, it's just like you did it unto me. Gifts which remain in the heart, which won't pass away. How are we doing? I'd like to end this morning with a little story of illustration that captures the heart, I think, of Galatians 6 and 10. It says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Early one morning, an older couple with wisdom and care in their eyes were walking their usual route through town. As they passed the bakery, they noticed a young woman sitting on a bench, discouraged and clearly overwhelmed. The man gently asked if she was all right. She explained that she was unable to get a job interview that could change her future. She had no way to get there. He didn't lecture her. He didn't ask for details. He didn't judge her situation. He simply said, come on, we'll take you. The man drove her across town, and before she got out of the car, he handed her a small envelope. She tried to thank him, but he stopped her and said, you are, of course, welcome. Just promise me that when you are able, you pass this on to someone else. Inside the envelope was $100 and a handwritten note. Someone helped me when I had nothing. Today it is your turn to be helped. Tomorrow, make it somebody else's. Weeks later, he received a letter in the mail. It was from the young woman. She had gotten the job, she was back on her feet, and she wrote, yesterday I met a man who hadn't eaten in 2 days. I bought him groceries and gave him the same note you gave me. Wanted you to know I made good on your request. Your kindness didn't stop with me. It is being passed along. Thank you for being his hand extended. It changed my life. And as we approach this week, we can't repay Jesus for the great gifts that he has given to us, but we can honor him by passing on some of what he has given to us to other people. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, the scripture says, ye have done it unto me. As we order our lives and our homes this morning, let's make a practice and teach our children and live out the importance of giving. Not as a great sacrifice, but as a privilege. I believe the Lord would be honored by that. I want to be faithful to him, and when he calls my name, I want to hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. May God bless you, each one. Amen.